Not all neighborhoods are the greatest. There's some pretty rough places out there. Could those places with a lot of negative and anxious energy be the source of paranormal activity? We hear a story that could point in that direction on a recent EPP bonus episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. It's an EPP 50.
You won't forget this one.
Sign up to listen to that episode and all of our bonus episodes at realghoststoriesonline.com. It's only $5 a month. Click Become an EPP, and you will keep our show on the air and get access to these exclusive bonus episodes just for you as a thank you for helping to support the show. Check it out, realghoststoriesonline.com, and thanks.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
And on today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, a family is able to put the pieces of a story together to find out who is the man at the top of the stairs. Is it actually rude to stare at someone who is no longer living? And a listener wonders if the ghost children she saw one night might actually be her kids from a past life. Those stories, your calls and more today on Real Ghost Stories Online. Tony and Jenny Bruschi joining you once again.
How are you?
I'm doing well. I really wish I had paid more attention in German class.
Why?
Because the trailer for the Krampus movie has come out.
Okay.
And it's only in German right now. They've only released the German trailer. Now, the movie is not in German. The movie is an American movie.
Mm-hmm.
And has very common American actors in it. But for whatever reason, I think there was a festival or something in Germany, and they wanted to promote it there or premiere the trailer there. I don't know, because that is kind of is that a dramatic tradition, Krampus? Is that from that area of the world?
I think so.
That may be why they got the first taste of the film.
Okay.
But it looks creepy as hell.
Yeah.
And it's not a real, cheesily done movie. It looks like it's going to be a good, creepy horror movie.
When does it come out?
I believe this year, this Christmas season.
Oh, they're going to wait till Christmas.
Yeah, it's going to be a Christmas spooky movie. It's been a while since we've had a Christmas spooky movie that was like big. Like Scrooged was kind of a spooky Christmas movie. That was like the early 80s. I'm trying to think of other spooky Christmas movies. Nightmare Before Christmas. I mean, that was a kid's movie, but...
Yeah, but I watched that one more around Halloween.
Sure, but you can do it at Christmas, too.
Yeah, you can.
So, I don't know. I mean, this does look to be an interesting film. I'm looking forward to seeing it.
Okay.
It looks twisted, and it should make a nice dark feeling on your holidays. So if you know German, enjoy the trailer. It's out right now. I'm sure the U.S. or the English version will be released shortly. It may already be released by the time this show hits the air, but I'm excited about it.
Okay.
And several people have posted it onto our wall on our Facebook page, too. It's like bombarded with Krampus stuff. So I think there's a lot of folks interested in seeing that film. Our phone number here, 855-853-4802, to share your real ghost story with us at Real Ghost Stories Online. We would love to hear it. And, of course, help keep our show on the air. Become an EPP, extra podcast person. That's what funds this thing. Without our EPPs, without you guys giving us that support, the show would not continue on. So if you're hoping for another year of the show, well, please become an EPP so we can continue on doing what we love here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's kick off the show today, and we will do that with a letter. This one comes into us from AGR. That's it.
I don't know what it stands for.
Is there ever a name in the letter?
No.
Okay. Yeah. AGR writes in, "Hi, Tony and Jenny. I listen to the show frequently, and I've had a previous story on your podcast. I've had a number of odd occurrences happen to me, so typically I listen to the show with the hopes of hearing a similar story to mine, and then I take your critique and structure it around my own experience. However, in this case, I've never heard a story quite like this, and I really just wish to get your feedback on it. It's such a simple story, but yet it is so complex. I'm 24 now, but this occurrence happened in the summer of my 16th year. One hot summer day, my three friends and I were playing basketball at an outdoor park right next to my home. It's a public park, but it's not often frequented by a lot of people. At this time, we were the only ones there playing a friendly game of two-on-two, only accompanied by an occasional passerby with no other intent than to walk through with their dog on their way to their final destination. It's odd because I remember noticing people walk by us, and I even specifically remember noticing some people occasionally looking in the direction of our game, if for no other reason, because there wasn't anything else going on around them. About an hour into playing, we naturally took a little break from our game, so that we were chatting, we were all much more aware of anything going on around us. During this time, I remember suddenly seeing someone walking down the path out the corner of my eye, and I turned to see a man there. This man was wearing a dark suit and was carrying a briefcase. I remember him being very clean-cut, though he did have light facial hair. I was initially taken aback because it's quite a long path stemming from the direction he was coming from, but I didn't notice him heading our way before this. It was as though he came out of nowhere. The fact that I turned so suddenly is what made each of my friends look his direction as well. Here's where the odd part happened. You know, in movies, when a character sees their dream guy or girl and then time slows down? Well, I swear to you, when this man walked by, time slowed down almost to a halt. I'm a straight male and have no movie-like interest in the guy, but this is the best thing I can think of to compare it to. Remember when he made eye contact with us, his face formed an incredibly disturbing, evil grin, and he continued down the path. I should clarify, the time only felt slowed when he made eye contact with us. As he turned away, it felt like everything was restored, though we all continued to watch him for 10 or so seconds it took him to disappear around the corner into the adjoining neighborhood. I didn't speak first. I was still processing what had happened. It was my friend who said, "I know it might sound weird, but..." And then before we could finish, my other friend said, "Did you all feel that?" Which upon further conversation, we all in fact had felt the same phenomena. Looking back now, I'd say we talked for about 30 to 45 seconds before I finally said, "Should we try to see where he lives?" Granted, that may have been enough time for him to have gotten into his home if he lived at one of the closer ones, however... When we went around that same corner, he was nowhere to be seen. We're all still friends to this day, and it comes up a lot amongst us and our other friends. I get that it could have been nothing, but there are a couple things that have left me to wonder. I don't understand how each of us felt the same thing and confirmed it without one of us just offering it up and the rest of us jumping on to try and fit in. I also don't understand why I didn't notice him coming down the pathway before he was right next to us. And lastly, I don't understand why anyone would be wearing a suit on a hot summer day and be carrying a briefcase when there were no businesses he could have been coming from. People walk down that path for recreation, and they return home because there's nowhere to go. All the path does is connect two neighborhoods. I don't know anyone who would dress that way for a leisurely walk, but that's just me. You're sharing this story with others, and tossing ideas around through the years, I have heard a few different explanations. I heard that we imagined it could have been an angel, possibly a demon, the devil himself. I've even been told that it seemed to have the appearance of the Antichrist, which I understand is a different from the devil. I'm curious to know if you have ever heard of anything similar to this and whether or not you think it was something paranormal. And also, if it was one of these darker options, why would it have presented itself to all of us when literally the worst thing we had done that day is forget to close the fridge at my parents' house? All the best, AGR.
It's hard to say whether or not he was there for real, mm-hmm. or if he was, you know, something dark or a ghost or not. And that part may not actually matter. I think since the three of them all felt that eerie kind of dread and slowing of time, I think that's the definite paranormal part of the story.
Mm-hmm.
Whether or not this guy was alive and just a really bad person and they just felt that vibe,
mm-hmm.
you know, I don't know. But I think there's a paranormal trend with the three of them feeling all the same feelings at the same time.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to go with that it was a living person.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go with that it was someone who was doing something or is doing something very, very dark. And that doesn't necessarily mean devil worship. There's a lot of things that this individual could be into that are not good, obviously. And I'm going to go that it was just, you know, basically an evil person. Someone who is just not good, and that aura is so strong around him that all three of those people picked up on it, to the point where it doesn't necessarily need to be an empathic person that feels it. I think there are some things that you don't need to have that ability. It's just strong enough that anyone and everyone will feel that.
Yeah.
And I think you may have just met a horribly evil person.
Yeah, I agree.
That's going to be my guess in this. Is it paranormal the way that all time stopped and everything? Yes, but I think that we have a sense. I think that there's a sense with that, and it's just what is triggered when we happen to be around something of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
Is it a ghost that did it? I don't think it was a ghost that did it, but it's a sense that we don't know we have, but every once in a while is, in fact, triggered. So that's going to be my guess.
Yeah.
Or guesstimation on that specific story. Interesting story. Thank you so much. It would be even more interesting if there had been pets nearby.
To see how they would have reacted.
To see how they reacted.
Sure.
Because that's a lot of times the telltale on things of that nature. No pun intended.
I get it.
On telltale. Anyway, 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. I was just listening to another podcast before we were doing this one, and I believe it was the Nerdist podcast, and they had Bryan Cranston on.
Oh, they did.
And it was talking about getting a weird vibe. He was out horseback riding, and I believe it was in California, and this was years and years ago. And I forgot, you got to listen to the full episode, but it was an interesting thing where that he was in getting ready to go horseback riding at the ranch. Some people come running in. Oh my God, Charlie's up on the mountain again. Somebody's gonna go get him. And they didn't know who this Charlie guy was. He's just up there, and they're like, oh shit, we gotta go get him. So he's like, okay, well, here's your horse, and go enjoy your ride. Meanwhile, like, all the ranch hands are out there wondering what, you know, running up this hill with their horses.
Uh-huh.
To try and get this guy who's up on the mountain. And so I guess Brian goes out for his horse ride, and he sees coming down the hill some of the ranch hand people, and there's this really out of it looking man kind of hobbling or just kind of not hobbling, but bouncing up and down in the back of the horse, not riding, but just kind of being carried down, kind of out of it looking.
Uh-huh.
A couple years later, finds out this ranch and Charlie Manson.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. And he connected the dots later, but it's kind of one of those, he didn't like necessarily have an experience exactly like that, but was like, what the hell?
Yeah.
Just something that'll stand out to you, weird vibes, and that's who it ended up being.
Oh, wow.
So anyway, that was on the Nerdist podcast I was listening to. Interesting interview.
Yeah.
So anyway, 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Lisa writes in, hello, Tony and Jenny. I just want to say that I love your show. I listen to it every day. It's great that you have created this outlet for those of us that have these experiences. I live in Springfield, Ohio. I have many stories, but I'll start from the beginning with the house I grew up in. My mom's sister and her husband owned the house we lived in. My dad would tell us kids stories about the ghost that was in the house. He told us that when my parents and I first moved in, that they had trouble with the cabinet doors and the kitchen would open and close on their own. Plates and glasses would fly out of the cabinets and break. He told it to stop because it was scaring my mother. My sister was born a year later, and when she was old enough to talk, she told my mother about the man at the top of the stairs. All of us kids were afraid of the stairs. It always felt like you were being watched, and they would pop and crack like someone was moving around on them. When I was about 12 years old, we began packing to move. My parents had gotten me a stereo for Christmas the year before. I like to turn it. It liked to turn itself off. Then I'm in our bedroom packing, and the door was closed, and I was listening to my stereo and packing when I heard someone knock on the bedroom door. I opened the door to find no one there, so I figured it was my sister messing with me. This happened two more times. The third time, I was ticked off and jerked the door open to catch her in the act. And again, no one. I yelled down to my mom to tell my sister to stop knocking on the door, and she said my sister wasn't even home. Needless to say, I was done packing for a while and went downstairs. Now, after we moved, my mom told me about what happened in the house many years ago. A wife had stabbed her husband to death in the front bedroom upstairs. When my aunt and uncle, who owned the house, came back from Utah to do some work to the house and planned on living in the house since my uncle had retired from the Air Force. My dad told my uncle about the man at the top of the stairs. My uncle laughed it off because he didn't believe in ghosts. While working on the bathroom, he tore the wall out between the bottom landing of the stairs and the bathroom. As he's working, he heard a noise. Looks up, sees a man at the top of the stairs. He freaks out and runs across the street where my parents were visiting my mom's brother and his wife. Runs in and tells them what he just saw. My dad just laughs and says, "I told you so." Fast forward about 2 years and my aunt and uncle are living in the house. Nothing really happens to them in the house. Then I get a call at my friend's house where I'd spent the night letting me know that my uncle had passed in the night. He had a massive heart attack in the front bedroom. Coincidence? You tell me. Keep up the great work you're doing, and I'll write in some of my other stories when I get a chance. FYI, this story is the least scary of my experiences. Take care.
I wonder if she was alluding to maybe the uncle was scared and had a heart attack.
I'm thinking that's what it was, So we had paranormal experiences confirmed by the people who live there, our writers. And then the aunt and uncle moving in, and the uncle, there's no such thing as ghosts. And then, he dies right there. It's, people have heart attacks, but it's interesting of the location in the house.
Mm-hmm.
And, I would almost think that someone who is hell-bent on believing that these things don't exist, if they were ever put face-to-face with it, they would probably be in a more scarring mental state than someone who already accepts their existence.
Yeah.
I mean, it would still be freaky as hell to see a ghost, even though you believe in them. But I think it's just one of those things where if you hold a belief so strongly and suddenly you are proven wrong,
mm-hmm.
People don't like that.
No.
In anything, in politics, in this or that. It's amazing, when especially in that world where facts can be presented directly to you and the denial can still exist, and I could see that you just being so overwhelmed with especially something like this.
Sure.
Where it's so unbelievable. It's not just you can brush it off and go, I'm going to pretend I didn't see that. I'm going to, like you could with politics or something. With this, it's like, holy shit. I can't deny that this is going on.
Well, I'm thinking it was probably more of the startle than the process.
I think it's all the processing at that moment in time. It's startle and then what, dead.
Yeah.
Because you begin to start to go through that
mm-hmm.
and it just probably can completely overwhelm you. And then it just, if you're analyzing and you're startled, it's hard to calm down when you're trying to process what you just saw.
I can't help but wonder what the ghost thinks when that happens. Like, oh shit, I didn't mean to do that.
Got another one.
No,
and put a notch on the wall.
No, I bet you most ghosts don't intend to do harm.
I think, I think you're probably right. I think it's kind of like with people. I think people in general mean well. It's just there's so many clusters.
Yeah, that's true.
That bad things happen because mm-hmm. of poor decisions.
Yeah.
But there's certainly evil people out there, and I think there's evil entities out there as well. But I think you're right. I think as a whole, it's probably just, I freaked somebody else out to death again.
Yeah, literally.
And it's kind of how it how it plays out. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Remember, if you like the show, get all those bonus episodes, almost 60 of them now, exclusive video content. These are shows jam-packed with some of our best stories. They're EPP bonus episodes. You sign up to get those at realghoststoriesonline.com. Click Become an EPP. Our EPPs are what keeps this show on the air. It's what funds it. Only $5 a month to be an EPP. And we thank you for doing that. Jasmine writes in, hi there. I have a few experiences with the paranormal and firmly believe that the house I lived in from ages 7 to 17 was haunted. I never saw anything directly, maybe a shadow at most, but the things that were happening were so frequent, my parents once had to have a pastor perform a blessing in my bedroom. Anyway, this actually is not about the things I experienced in that house. I'll write back in one day about that. The experience I'd like to share with you actually happened a few years after I'd moved to a different house. I was attending a community college that was walking distance from where I was living. Across the street from campus, the street was lined with apartment buildings that had balconies. With my walking route, I always crossed the street so I could walk on the side with the apartments. This day was a really nice spring day, so it wasn't weird that I saw an old woman sitting on her balcony at the top floor of one of the buildings. But as I got closer to her, I noticed she was watching me as I walked by. Her head followed me from one side to the other as I passed. Her eyes were huge, too large for a human, and all black. They looked like big, black, oval eggs. I thought maybe it was a mask or something, but I wanted to look away because the rational side of me reminded me that it's rude to stare. I guess a part of me was also scared that if I stared at this thing, I would see something I didn't want to see. Every day after that, I would look to see if I saw her again, but I never did. What could it have been? My dad once told me that he thinks I'm the haunted one and that the paranormal just follow me. I don't know. I hope that's not the case. You guys are awesome. Some of these stories are scary, but I just can't stop listening. Keep up the great work.
Can't help but wonder if, you know, if they, that person is the haunted one.
Sure.
You know, and things just come to them.
And they're the only ones that can see some of these things. Mm-hmm. Like if I was walking down the road at the same time, I may not have seen that lady up there.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's interesting. We had a story not that long ago where it was somebody was walking down a path or something, and there was like a big fence.
Yeah, and it was an old lady looking over a fence.
Yeah, same sort of mm-hmm. thing. And then they realized, wait a second, they'd really need like a ladder or something to get up that high.
Yeah.
And it was just silent, watching, and going on. It makes you wonder, I mean, it makes you wonder if the undead are just as curious about us as we are about them, if they're sitting there staring.
Yeah.
Looking, you know, wondering, pondering, and maybe were we going back to the thing of you know, maybe that this is a person who sees these things while others do not. Maybe the ghosts don't always know who's able to see them.
Well, I think they are going to probably be more interested in the ones that appear to have noticed them,
mm-hmm.
that can see them. I mean, I'm sure they have plenty of people that just go about their day and never see them. But I think when they do get one, they're like, ooh, they can see me.
Yeah.
I think they're a lot more interested in that.
Sure. Sure. I agree. Interesting story. 855-853-4802 is her number. Julie writes in, a few years into my marriage, my in-laws bought a new home. It was a lovely white home with red trim. That's what I was about to say there.
Okay.
With red trim. Been talking with her. 3-year-old far too frequently.
There you go.
No noggin.
Yeah.
She's watching Curious George right now, Halloween, and loves the no noggin episode. That's the man with no head.
There's 10 people that got that.
Yeah. Well, it's, you know, Curious George. So anyway, she loves telling the story now. And in an upcoming episode here on the show, she will be sharing a ghost story, very likely the no noggin story.
It's so random when she tells it.
She was trying to tell it last night and it got really, really weird.
Yeah.
Anyhow, that's coming up very soon in October here on the show. Anyway, continuing on, it was an L-shaped with French doors facing the road entering into a dining area. A sidewalk leading to the double doors of the entry hall ran along the dining room. A large window overlooked the sidewalk. In September of 1992, my husband, 2-year-old, and I moved into the home for a short time. My son and I were home during the day alone, and we'd sit in the dining area and often see shadows scurrying along the sidewalk towards the front door. I'd get up, walk to the front doors, but no one would be there. After a few days of this happening, I asked my in-laws if they had seen the shadows, and they said no. By October, the dark shadows had increased. It was daylight, but I could see many shadows. They looked like mean, pacing sidewalk. I'd see them out the corner of my eyes anytime I was in the dining room. I continued to mention this to my husband, and sometime around mid-October, the entire family was eating in the formal dining area just off the dining, and the formal dining room is visible from the front door. If you look to the right, I was seated at the end of the table, furthest away from the front door. When the hairs on my neck stood up and I glanced towards the front door, it was dusk, but I could see many dark shadows peering in through the front door windows. I grabbed my husband and said, "Did you see them?" He did not. This continued day after day. The dark shadows would scurry along the sidewalk, and night after night they'd peer in through the front doors. It was the only place I saw them. Then, near Christmas, my mother-in-law had an errand to run. It was dark outside, and my car was the easiest to get out of the driveway. I told her I'd take her. We'd walked down together to the sidewalk to get the car, got in. I felt strangely cold. Suddenly, my mother-in-law looked at me and said, "Are you okay? You're pale as the moon." I barely said a whisper. "You see that man standing outside your car door?" She looked, but said, "I don't see anything, but I believe you. I can see how frightened you are, and that frightens me." He was probably 7 feet tall and a mass of the darkest black. He didn't move, just stood there, as if he were staring through us. His presence made me feel cold, and the air around me was thick. When I turned on the headlights, I couldn't see him anymore, but I could feel him. Shortly after that incident, my mother-in-law had the home blessed. It was then she told me that the house had sat vacant for a few years because the owner had simply disappeared. No one had heard from him. I've never seen another shadow person on the sidewalk leading to her front door, nor watching us gather at the table. But for those months prior, they seemed to multiply by day and manifest something evil by night.
I wish that somebody else could have seen them.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, they wouldn't feel like they were the only one or that they were questioning their sanity.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm glad they went ahead and had the house blessed. But it makes you wonder, since the previous owner disappeared, what the circumstances were.
It makes you wonder if the previous owner was into something they shouldn't have been into. It makes you wonder if the previous owner fell victim to something to do with.
Or maybe they just realized their property was so haunted they were never going to be able to get rid of it, so they just left.
Or they didn't want to have the guilt of trying to put someone else there. I don't know. Interesting story. One where we will never know the answers to, which is pretty much most of our stories, but interesting nonetheless.
Sure.
855-853-4802. Ivan writes in, "Hi, Tony and Jenny. Love the podcast. I listen to it every day right before I go to sleep, and it's really relaxing to sleep to. Keep up the good work." Little background. I moved into this house about 10 months ago due to my dad getting another job and him having to be available 24/7. The house is huge and surrounded with woods and high grass. I haven't really had something noticeably weird happen until 3 weeks ago. It was a normal day, same routine, get up, do some chores, spend as much time on the computer as I can, and then go to sleep listening to your podcast. Well, I was in my bed at about 2 a.m., eyes closed, maybe 10 minutes into the podcast, and I hear something hit my window. I knew it was windy outside, so I thought maybe the wind picked up something and hit the window, but then I heard it again. Still, I didn't open my eyes. I was getting a bit nervous because I'm the type of person who thinks of the worst possible scenarios. Now, the hits weren't that loud, so I didn't really know what it could be. All these things are running through my head. What if it's a killer? What if there's someone outside the window? I know I didn't have any trees close to my window, but the hits were so frequent that it was obvious that whatever it is, was trying to get my attention. Finally, I just couldn't handle it, and I opened my eyes. Outside the window were two children, a boy and a girl. I got scared shitless. Even when writing this, I get shivers. They were looking at me. I thought it was sleep paralysis because I was so scared that I couldn't even speak. The light from my computer was illuminating the room, and I immediately noticed that their eyes were completely black. Little girl spoke a muffled sound since she was behind the window. What I think she said was, "Can we come in?" I said nothing because I was still really scared. She asked again, and I was sure what she was saying. She seems a bit irritated having to ask multiple times. I quietly said no, and they just moved away from the window. After 2 to 3 minutes of getting myself together and getting the courage to go to the window, I noticed them right by the trail near the woods about 50 meters away from my house. They waved at me. I don't know why. I find it a bit funny now, but I flipped them off. They then turned around and went into the woods. What happened after was also pretty strange. I stayed up all night and figured I'm going to go to bed when there's daylight, since I don't feel comfortable sleeping after what just happened. So at about 8 a.m., I told my parents what happened. They really didn't know what to say. My dad wasn't helpful with the comment, "I want the drugs you're taking." I finally went to sleep and I had a dream that I was in war and I had a son. He looked exactly like the boy behind the window. Looked like a flashback in a movie. I was running with my son in some kind of field and he got shot right before we got behind the wall. I remember being really emotional and being next to his grave, putting the hat he wore on it. The same hat that the boy had. That was by the window. Then I woke up sweaty, feeling really nervous, almost like it was real. I was still really tired, so after like 3 glasses of water, I went back to sleep. This time I had a very vivid dream about me being in the very old house. And I opened the door to a room, and in the room were boxes. Whoever was in this house was in the process of moving. Then at the corner of my eye, I see something move. There was someone in the corner of my room under a white blanket. It looked like a child because of the size. For some reason, I wasn't scared at all. I was just curious and wanted to see who was under it. Slowly, I moved towards it, and I was asking the same question over and over, "Who are you?" Finally got close enough where I can grab the blanket. As I started to pull it, I got bit by whatever was under it. I started crying and saying, "I miss you, sweetie. Your daddy misses you. Why would you bite your dad like that? I love you." Whatever was under it let me go and vanished. Then I woke up again. This time I wasn't going back to sleep. After that, I didn't have anything else happen. I was thinking of maybe them actually being my kids in a past life or something, or I just had a dream about them because I got so scared when I saw them. If they were my kids, I feel bad for flipping them off.
I don't know. I think they're black-eyed children.
It pretty much sounds like your typical black-eyed children.
Have we heard stories of them being able to affect your dreams? Because that makes me wonder if maybe they weren't trying to gain access by coming to him in his dreams.
Sure. I don't believe we've had any stories of black-eyed children and then affecting dreams. Mm-hmm. But that's not to say that stories like that do not exist out there. I don't know.
Okay.
But typically, it's pretty much like the first part of the story, mm-hmm. before the dream of come to the door, come to the window, ask to come in. You say no, they peacefully go away.
Yeah.
Little insistent at first, but then they do go away. They don't like try and break into the house or anything or steal the dog or anything like that. But I don't know. The dream part, I don't know. I don't know what to make of that.
Sure.
I don't know. You know, the original Van Morrison song, Brown Eyed Girl, was actually Black Eyed Children.
It was not.
Shala la 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 ti da.
What?
Black Eyed Children.
No.
That's how it went.
That's not at all.
That
how
is
it went.
That is exactly.
How that's not even close.
But then nobody knew what to make of it. Like
that's
what?
Not even close.
Black Eyed Children. This is not. Nobody liked it, so they changed it to Brown Eyed Girl.
Okay. Nice try.
It's like something from Drunk History.
Yes, pretty much.
It really is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your paranormal experiences with us. Let's go over here. I think we got Manuel in California. Let's hear this story as soon as I get it all pulled up and volume adjusted and ready to be broadcast in high definition. Here we go. Hi.
Hi, guys. Hey, Tony and Jenny, this is Manuel from Northern California. I have a story I want to share, but I also was hoping that maybe you guys could mention on air if you had any more information on the slider effect. I left a previous story, and Jenny had mentioned that it sounded like the slider effect, and she explained that that's when people walk underneath streetlights and they shut off. I've had that and other electronic devices malfunctioning my whole life, computer shutting off, malfunctioning, lights. It's pretty, it's almost undeniable. It happens so often. My wife and I have been married for 30 years, and she's seen it repeatedly. So if you have any information on that, I'd really appreciate it if you could mention it or give me a place to look or whatever. Anyway, my story takes place quite a few years ago and then jumps forward. When I was small, when I was a little kid, I was, like third grade. We lived at the end of the street, and my dad was kind of a local fix-it guy. He was pretty handy with cars and other things. So anytime somebody needed something, he was always, a nice guy and would go down and help them. And there was an older lady that lived probably three or four houses down on the opposite end of the opposite side of the street. And she had some kind of condition where she needed oxygen. So once a week, a truck would come, and they would unload these big bottles of oxygen, and then my dad would always go down when he got home from work and connect the new bottles for her and then put the old ones outside. And she was a really, really nice lady. I remember she would always make chili, and she would give it to us to thank my dad. And he did this for a long time, a number of years, and then one day he went down to change the oxygen bottles. They were sitting outside, and she didn't come to the door. And she was fairly old, so immediately we got worried. So my dad went around the house, and he peeked through the kitchen window, and he saw her laying on the floor. And the window was small, and I was with him, so he put me through the window, and I climbed in, and I didn't touch her or anything. I just ran through and opened the door for my dad. And she had been there for a little bit. She died of a heart attack or something, but she was dead. And everybody was sad and blah, blah, blah. So jump ahead, years later, when I was about 18, I actually rented that house. And that was the first house I ever lived in. My whole family lived on this street, so I grew up there. And when I moved out, this house was available. It was really cheap, so I moved into it. And everything was fine. I never really had any problems until I got a waterbed. That's when the issue started, or at least that's when I felt the issue start. I put the waterbed together, and at the time, I was sleeping. I got the waterbed, and then, I don't know if you've ever had one, but you fill them up, and then it takes a couple days for the water to heat up. There's a heater under there. You can't really sleep on them until you heat it up because it's really cold. Anyway, I was sleeping in the living room on the couch. So finally the waterbed heated up, it was a couple days, and I was really excited to sleep in my new waterbed. So the first night, I went in there and I laid down, and I had a little TV back there, and I was kind of watching TV. And as I started to get comfortable, I laid over on my side, and I remember watching, the program that was on, and I felt somebody slowly sit on the bed, and it felt like they were rolling the bed. It freaked me out. I jumped up. I jumped out of the bed, and I looked and turned on the light, and there was nobody there. And I'm thinking, man, was I dozing off, or did I imagine that? The next night, same thing. And then it would taper off, and it just happened so often, I actually got rid of the waterbed because I could feel all the time. It felt like somebody was getting into the bed with me, and it just freaked me out. Anyway, that's the story. I never forgot that. And like I said, if you have any information on the slider effect or people that cause an interruption in electronics like computers and things, that'd be great if you could mention it. Anyway, thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Talk to you later. Bye.
Thanks for your call, Manuel.
Okay, there's a reason why he couldn't find it under slider effect, because that's my slang term for it.
Okay.
It's called street light interference phenomenon.
Okay.
And it was a term coined by Hillary Evans. She's a paranormal author. And her book that she put that in, trying to find the book.
Well, she does that. I will sing Black Eyed Children.
I found it.
Where did we go?
Don't sing that. It was a 1993 book called The SLI Effect. The SLI for streetlight interference is also where the SLI and slider comes from. So if you look into that, you might have better luck. It's all over the internet, but it's streetlight interference phenomenon.
All right. There you go. I was wondering, it's kind of an odd thought, but waterbeds. You're sleeping on water. Good conduit.
Yeah.
For things. Luckily, waterbeds, not all that common anymore. But I'm wondering. I mean, if there was a way, you know, to, especially with like sleep paralysis and such, and the cases where we feel like it's a little bit more than just regular old sleep paralysis. What are the odds? Do you increase your odds of having an experience like that by sleeping on a Big Sur waterbed versus the your traditional mattress? Does gel comfort come into play?
I don't think gel comfort comes into play. I can see the waterbed, you know, water conduit type thing going on.
Mm-hmm.
I think it may, just like Manuel was saying, you know, make it easier to feel the ghost doing things. Because, you know, anybody moves on a waterbed and you're going to feel it.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes you wonder if maybe people with waterbeds can feel, you know, the ghost sitting on their bed or touching them or stuff easier.
Be a great question for a salesman at a bed store.
Oh, don't do that.
I'm going to do an outgoing line. We call a bed store and we ask these questions. So we're considering it. Which bed, you know, do you increase your odds of paranormal activity on the waterbed, you know, being a conduit for...
I don't want us to stoop to prank calling mattress stores.
This is what I used to do.
I know.
Like 20 years ago on the air.
You're past it.
It's true. I was like 15.
Yeah.
I still listen to those calls.
I know.
They were funny.
Yeah, I know.
They were funny. It would be an interesting conversation, though, with a it really would depend on the type of salesperson you get. Either somebody's like really into the topic or is open to it, or they're like, what the hell are you talking about, sir?
Probably the same salesperson that you would get jumping on the bed to see which one has the best bounce would probably do it.
Yeah. Did I ever tell that story on the show?
I don't know.
Back in my days of radio on a rock radio station I was on, and I was 15 or so. Doing afternoon radio and, you know, prank calling stuff. And this was, like, 1996, 97-ish. And I did a daily prank call, and they were real prank calls. And it was supposed to be an adult film director calling a mattress store, asking what the bed salesman would recommend for a good firm mattress.
Mm-hmm.
And then requesting if the mattress salesman would jump on the bed while on the phone with me so I could hear how firm the bed was. And the mattress store salesman did, in fact, get on the bed, jumped around, and even made noises.
Ugh.
And it was messed up. I mean, it was just one of those moments where you're like, there's no way they're going to do that. I was thinking I'm going to have to edit this in later on or add some sound effects or something to complete it. Oh, no. They did it. It's amazing what you could get people to do on prank calls. And they would follow through with just a complete stranger on the other end of the phone. Disturbing as well. But
it's messed up.
It was. It was. I learned a lot about people at a young age. And it was like, okay, well, this is interesting. Anyway, 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to Catherine in Canada. Hi.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. My name's Catherine. I'm calling from Calgary, Canada. Love your guys' show. My husband and I watch or listen religiously, especially on long road trips. I make them go by super fast, so we're super grateful for you guys and just want to say thank you, and we love you both so much. So I don't really know where to start. There's just been so much that's gone on in my life. I believe that I'm an empath. I think I have been since I was a kid. I always could feel stuff and see things, and my mom always thought it was my imagination. I suffered from night terrors. I still do. The one that I can remember when I first kind of clued in maybe that I could feel things that maybe other people couldn't was when I was about 7 or 8. There was a story on the news about some kids who had been in a school bus and it had plunged off the side of a bridge and they had drowned. And I remember I couldn't sleep. I was crying for these children. I was just verklempt. I was just so, I was just so hysterical because I felt like I couldn't breathe and I felt like I could feel the anguish and the horror and the sadness of these kids. And I felt so bad. And my mom didn't really know what to do. She would calm me down and just say, it's your imagination and, you know, you're just a good person and you feel for these kids. And most of my experiences when I was a kid were dismissed as, you know, overactive imaginations because I was super creative and, you know, I do have a good imagination. But it was most recently, about 4 years ago, that I really got confirmation that maybe I was actually seeing something and there was some form of paranormal or spiritual energy that was either being projected through me or coming to me for a specific reason. When I was about 21, I started getting visions. Nothing where I could really speak to somebody, but it was just kind of like watching something and hearing into my head. So it wasn't really audible around me, I don't think, but I could hear it in my head, and it wasn't just my voice. I was in the shower, and I closed my eyes, and all of a sudden, I got this vision of this grandmother giving a granddaughter a music box, but I couldn't actually see the music box. All I heard in my head was its unique music box. It's specific from grandmother to granddaughter. And the grandmother had a pink rocking chair, but it wasn't a bright pink or anything. It was more of like a muted pink or a dusty rose. So I automatically thought I was going insane. But then I automatically thought of my friend at the time who grandmother had passed and that she still kind of pined over. But I was talking about it at work, and my boss at the time had said, you know, so what's been going on? And I said, well, I don't really know what to make of this vision. And I told her about it, and I just described it was kind of a funky music box specifically from a grandmother to a granddaughter, and it was a pink rocking chair, and I just left it at that. And she, her eyes got really wide, and she says, that's my grandmother. She's been dead for, you know, 10 years. And I said, oh, my gosh. She says, but the rocking chair, like, what did it look like? Because she had more of a darker pink, like a dusty rose rocking chair. And my heart just kind of sank into my stomach. And it was just that confirmation, like, holy shit, oh my gosh, I think I actually saw something and it wasn't just in my head. So she brought in the music box the next day, and it was one of those ones that you twist at the bottom to get the music to start, and it was it was like a porcelain doll, like a girl figurine, but she looked like a doll. So it was a very unique music box. It wasn't one of those that you opened and the ballet dancer played, and that wasn't what I had seen in my vision at all either. So that was great confirmation. And then throughout the day when we were in the office, and we would talk about my vision or the music box or the grandmother, the music box would let out one single ding, but it would only do it when we would talk about her. The only exception was when it was silent for about 10 minutes in the office, which was super rare, because of the office populated mostly by women, we talked all the time. It was never really quiet. So we almost felt like it was her grandmother almost embodying that music box and just dinging. Just like, I'm still here. So that was really cool. It was totally a positive experience, and she hasn't heard a word out of the music box since I've spoken with her. So it was a super positive experience, and I was so glad I could do that. Other times it's when I'm driving, and you know how we all kind of go into into a bit of a beta consciousness when we're driving and our minds kind of wander. I do that, and sometimes I talk to myself, and all of a sudden I was talking to myself and this voice came through me, and it was my voice, but I heard it in a man's deep low voice, and I physically said it was coins, a grandfather collecting coins, and I kind of shocked myself kind of back into reality, like, oh my God, what did I just say? And then we actually found out that the friend that I had just had dinner with, her grandpa was an avid coin collector who had passed, I think, 5 years prior. And they were thinking, well, who wants his coin collection? And I said, well, did your grandpa collect coins? And they were kind of having the conversation at the same time that I had texted her asking about this. So it was just a kind of a cool confirmation. So I'd love to hear more what you guys think about it. It's definitely something that scares me a bit, just seeing stuff, but it's pretty cool as well. So yeah, I guess I'll leave it at that. I'll call in probably another time with some other stories that aren't so positive, but yeah, I just leave it at that. Thank you so much for all that you do. It's honestly a huge relief to get this off my shoulders and talk to somebody and, you know, with like minds about this. So keep doing what you guys do. We're going to become EPPs very soon, and we look forward to hearing more of you guys. Take care. Bye.
I think the force is strong with that one.
Oh, yeah.
I think she's being contacted and given messages to try and decipher and give to who they belong to.
Okay.
Almost like a medium.
Do you think it's messages, like specific messages, or more so just the message of, I'm on the other side and I'm okay? And just with very specifics, like, okay, she couldn't make this up. This, you know, it's so specific when she reiterates this to someone, it must be that person, you know?
I think that's what the message is just, it's me, it's really me, remember the pink rocking chair, mm-hmm. or it's really me, my love of coins.
Sure.
I think that's just kind of how they're, you know, trying to say, here, tell them this, because mm-hmm. this is something only we would know, not you being the message giver.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I think. I think you shouldn't be scared. I think you should try and tune that in, because I think that's a neat gift.
Until you start levitating, head rotating, and pea soup comes flying out of your mouth.
Well, it doesn't possess her. It's not possessing her. They're just
coming. Yet.
No, they're just giving her these messages.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's probably fairly harmless.
Yeah.
It's just you're a conduit for them.
Mm-hmm.
So, interesting story. Thank you for sharing that with us. There's a lot of folks who share that ability, whether they like it or not. That's the thing. Thanks for calling into the show today. If you did, writing in 855-853-4802. Our phone number, of course, we've talked about it a lot. EPPs, that's what keeps our show on the air. If you enjoy this thing and you want it to continue on, please consider supporting it. It's only $5 a month. Get all the bonus episodes, exclusive video content, and the satisfaction of knowing you are keeping us alive. So there you go. Check it out, realghoststoriesonline.com. Click Become an EPP. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.